We're going to speak on about the word seek this evening. So take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to read here verses 16 through 34. And of course, this passage of scripture is used on many occasions to speak about several different topics. But we're going to focus on, like I said, this word seek. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, Luke chapter 12, and beginning in verse 16, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently down through verse 34. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, if you get the idea of what Jesus is saying here, and that's why I started out with the parable that he told about the rich man. Because he starts there and says, folks, he goes, just in a roundabout way, he kind of says, guys, look, I'm going to tell you this story, and then I'm going to talk to you, because I'm going to tell you in this story what the world seeks after, how the world views seeking things, and then I'm going to tell you how you should view seeking things. You see, how do you know that that's what he was trying to say? In verse 30, he says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. You see, the truth is, folks, as we get into the definition of this word seek, because of our nature, because of who we are as human beings, it is very natural for us to seek the things that the rest of the world seeks. It's very natural. It's very unnatural for us to seek the things that God says we're supposed to seek. And that's just the truth. And guess what? It's hard to do day by day. It's hard to do the unnatural day after day after day. It's easy to do the natural day by day by day. Isn't it? And that's exactly what we're talking about. So, just in definition, and I'm pretty confident that either most or all of you fully understand the word seek. It simply means to go in search of. How many of you are doing pretty good so far? Yeah. To go in quest of. Still okay, right? To search for by going from place to place. Right? We have a little sign hanging up on our wall. I think it was a gift. It says nothing is lost until your mother cannot find it. Okay? Now, so we have this thing, searching for, going in quest of. Another definition of the word seek is to inquire for. So if you're asking questions, you are seeking an answer, right? You're seeking some knowledge. You're seeking something, okay? To ask for, to endeavor to find or gain. Now listen, so far we're good, right? But I like what the definition adds here. It says to endeavor or to gain by any means possible. Oh, now we're getting a little deep here. Now we're getting to something that's tangible. What ends or what means are we willing to employ to get what we're looking for? To get what we're inquiring about? To get what we're in quest of? You see, you can go through the history books and you can read all the different things, treasures, conquerings, folklore. I don't know how many of you watch these shows that the people are digging for gold, or they're looking for some special lost treasure, or these people are diving down into the depths of the oceans trying to find treasures. And do you sense in these endeavors that these people have, these quests that these people have? Right? My ringtone. You all know my ringtone? Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Old Indiana Jones, he was in quest of things. And guess what he would do? By any means possible. By any means necessary. And think of the expense that these people go through to get what they're seeking. At what lengths they go to. Sleep deprivation, diseases, possible deaths of themselves or others trying to find buried treasure or seek after this. Or you can transfer it to the corporate world of today. What are people seeking after? The top of the ladder, right? The next promotion, the next pay raise, that next, big thing in the company. And guess what they're willing to do? Anything to get it. And some are even driven to the point of death to get what they think they want. Now, I mentioned that because if we're going to endeavor or go in quest of or go in search of to find something, by any means. Means we're going to push the limits to get what we're seeking after. To get that thing that we're in quest of. And that's the attitude that I want us to take hold of. To embrace. And if we can figure it out, what is important, what is that thing that we should be seeking after, then I want us to employ that sentiment to that. You see where I'm going with this? And of course, that is our God. If we really wanted to find Him, if we really wanted to have that special relationship with Him, if we really wanted to be with Him, then we would seek him by any means possible. The waking hours. We would spend all. You know, Jesus tells these parables, right? The pearl of great price, right? Having found it, they would spend it all and get that as an investment. That if you found, if you were digging and you found this treasure on the land, you go and spend all you had to buy the land so you could get the treasure. What is he talking about? He's talking about our attitude of seeking him. He's talking about, hey, look, if it's something worth going after, then go after it wholeheartedly. Go after it with all that you have. And you know what? We have a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of churches. Hey, let's even just throw the pastors in there. A lot of pastors that aren't seeking after God like we should. Jesus says, look, this guy that is rich for himself, he's a fool. He's seeking after the wrong things. Hey, in the account in Matthew, it says for these things that the Gentiles seek after. But here in Luke says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. They're foolish. Because they should be seeking after God. They should be in search of God. I like what it says in the Webster's 1828 edition. It says, in Scripture, seek means to ask of His favor. Seeking means to ask for His direction and His assistance. Are we trying to seek the face of God? His mind, His favor, His direction, guidance, assistance in life? Or are we after all the things that the world is after? What are we spending our time and our money and our effort to attain? What are we trying to get? What are we trying to go after? What are we in quest of in our daily life? Is it God? Or is it the things of this world where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal? We need to seek God. So, if we're going to accomplish this, we have to do some things. And I'm going to go quickly through them because we only have 9 minutes left. Seems like I said that Sunday morning as well. Why was it 9 minutes? I don't know. But that seems to be where I put myself all the time. Because that was the introduction. Wasn't that wonderful? Amen. 1 Chronicles 22, listen to this. God says this, well actually technically it was David, to Solomon, his son. He says this, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. So David told his son Solomon, he said, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. If we're going to be successful in accomplishing the sentiment of this word seek, we have to set our heart on God. Because guess what? If we don't set our heart on God, where will it be set? Yeah. On carnal things, not spiritual things. Folks, we have a default in our heart. Now, I'm not talking about the muscle that beats right here. Well, technically over just a little bit more. But you know what? It's not the muscle, it's the heart of man. You understand that we're going to crave the things of this world? We're going to seek after the things of this world if we do not purposefully set our heart to seek after God. We have to take that heart and say, click, seek after God. We have to tell it. We have to make it. Otherwise, it's going to go click. It's going to go back to the default setting. Okay, anything in technology, all you kids even understood that term, didn't you? Yeah, default setting. Yeah. If you ever get that thing on your screen, right? Go back to factory settings? Okay. Don't push that. Okay. Folks, we don't want to go back to our factory settings. Our factory settings are bad. We need to set our heart on serving God. In 2 Chronicles 19, the Bible says this, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee that thou hast taken away." This is talking about Jehoshaphat. I'll talk about him a little bit later. Jehu was going around making sure everybody was doing the right things according to God's word. So he lets Jehoshaphat go. He says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land." And listen to what Jehu says to Jehoshaphat. He says this, "And hast prepared thine heart to seek God." I saw that and I'm like, this is exactly what we're supposed to do. Jehoshaphat was commended because he wasn't perfect in his life. He didn't make all the right decisions, but he had prepared his heart to seek after God. So not only do we have to set our heart to seek after God, we have to prepare our heart to seek after God. In Deuteronomy 4, Moses said, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." You see where we're going with this thing of the word seek? It's a matter of the heart. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's tuned and set to carnality. And the only way that we can overcome that is to purposefully prepare it, set it, all of it, to seek after God. We must. If we're gonna attain to this quest or the end of this quest and get what we want, and that a hope is a relationship with God, and favor with God and direction and assistance from God, then we're going to have to do our part by setting ourselves up for success. In 2 Chronicles 30, the Bible says this. Listen to this story. This is about Hezekiah and the people of that day. "For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they did eat the Passover, otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people." Now, why did God do that? You said they violated the law. Yes, they did. But what was their saving grace, if you will? That they had prepared their heart to seek God. You see, folks, we need to make preparation. We need to get our house in order, if you will. We need to prepare ourselves to seek God. In Ezra 7, the Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in, or teach in Israel the statutes and judgments." You understand? God wants us to prepare ourselves, to set our hearts on seeking after Him, and to do it with all of our heart. Now, once we do, we need to make sure to follow through and make the right choices. You see, there's a thing about preparing. But then once the preparation is made, once the settings are made, then the following actions have to be in line with the preparation. Think about this. Much of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to show his son Rehoboam the way of success. Much like David, his father, showed him how to be successful, told him how to be successful, and that if he would follow these things, he would be successful, but if he didn't, he would fail. Now, did that bear out in Solomon's life? Yes, it did. For part of it, he did well, and toward the end, he did not so well. And did those things come true that David said would come true? Yes, they did. So much of the book of Proverbs is written to Rehoboam, and Rehoboam doesn't even start out well. You see, but wasn't his heart prepared? Well, I think it was. But he still had to make a choice. Now listen to what it says here in the Bible about Rehoboam. It says, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You see, Solomon tried to prepare his heart, but Rehoboam himself, as a 41-year-old man as he became king, did not prepare his own heart to seek after God, and therefore he did evil. We need to watch out for these things. Hebrews 11 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to prepare ourselves to seek after God. Prepare our heart. Now, once we do, we need to choose the right thing. In Psalm 27, it says this, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What did David choose? When given the choice, or when given the command, or when given the opportunity to seek after God, he said, that's what I'm going to do. Folks, we have 24 hours in a day, and we have an opportunity to decide what we do with that 24 hours, don't we? How are we going to employ those 24 hours of our day? To what quest are we going to put those 24 hours toward? Remember Jehoshaphat? The end result of what he chose in preparing his heart, it says he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. They had revival during his time as king because he chose to follow through with what he had prepared his heart for, to seek after God. In Numbers 15, Moses put in some commands here. I thought this was interesting. He's talking about the dress of the people. And he said that they were going to have these fringes in their garments. And in Numbers 15 it says, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. How many of you ever wondered why those fringes are on the garments of the Jewish people? It's so that they won't go after their own seeking, but that they'll go after seeking God and his commandments and his words. And he says, whenever you look at him, that you won't go after your own ways, that you won't seek after your own things, because that'll take you down the wrong path. Maybe we need to put fringes in our clothing so that we'll remember to seek after God. That was the purpose of it. So that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, but that ye remember to do all the commandments of your God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You notice he didn't just end at seek my face, did he? Oh, if you'll humble yourselves and seek my face, then I'll heal your land. No, he said, turn from your wicked ways. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. The Bible says he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord, that he walked in the ways of David his father. He declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. You know what Josiah decided to do? To take the right path. To seek after God. But listen to this. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years. And it says that in his eighth year, while he was yet young, so he was 16 years old. So if you're 16 and you think you're all that and you're all grown up, the Bible says you're still young. Okay? It says that he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Now, I hope you find that interesting, because I found that interesting. If he was 8 years old and he did that which is right in the sight of God for 8 whole years, and then when he became 16 years old, he began to seek after God. It's pretty amazing. It says, and in the 12th year, so 4 more years, so now he's how old? 20, you guys are great. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Was he making some choices? Was he making some progress in his quest? Absolutely. Now, very quickly, just to close. You can go back and read Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. But the Bible says, basically, in a nutshell, that those that seek after God will be blessed. And those who do not will be cursed. You see, there's a price to pay for not seeking after the right things. The rich man was called a fool because he thought he'd tear down his barns and build greater and live sumptuously the rest of his days. Many times we end up slipping off track and begin to seek those natural things. And guess what? You'll never be satisfied. If you chase the almighty dollar, it will be ever elusive. It'll never be enough. You know what? Everybody wants to be at the beginning. What does everybody want to be at the beginning? A millionaire. I just want to be a thousandaire, okay? That's all I want to be. Everybody wants to be a millionaire, right? And once they get to be a millionaire, they are... They want to be a billionaire. And once they become a billionaire, they want to be a... Yes, and once they become a trillionaire, they want to be a... Yes, whatever air is next. I think the air gets pretty thin up there, but whatever. That was a really bad pun, but I like it. That's going to go in my book. Now listen. They're never satisfied.
Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Where are we going to find satisfaction? Where are we going to find contentment? Only in God. Only in God.
Solomon tried to tell his son, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all that increased. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." We're going to be successful in this thing of seek. We're going to really understand what this word means. We need to pay attention to what Jesus said. He said, "But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Over in Matthew 6, he says it this way, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's where the rubber meets the road. We've got to understand that this word seek has a great importance in our life today as believers.